You have you've rediscovered your hobby of black holes?
Yeah, yeah. So
because before this, we were talking about Sharikia.
Yeah, yeah.
And
no,
cults, and you're going black holes.
Like, yeah, I listen to podcasts, like science podcasts.
Dude, isn't that like a
touch on space time and like
they're
how
great.
Black holes?
But black holes, like that's a really dense topic, right?
Yeah, it's a very dense topic.
That's
you're
like
absolutely
a super,
right.
Once you cross the event horizon of that topic, you cannot escape.
Oh man, the puns.
You can't.
No,
you really can't.
You could orbit around that topic for decades.
Everything else,
you know,
everything else
millennia.
Is going to be flashing past you,
absolutely.
But you will not be able to escape it.
It is an inescapable gravity well of knowledge, and yep. Once you fall into that, there's nothing you could do. I mean, you just become part of the singularity, I guess. It's a difficult...
I'm glad you had all that.
Let's bring it back, because we're in a hole now.
Yeah.
We're back in a hole. So welcome everybody. We are the Cutting Mat. This is our first episode, episode one. If you don't know who we are, there's episode zero that's out on Spotify, iTunes, everywhere you can listen to podcasts. This is episode one. We're going to be talking a little bit about community stuff here locally in North Carolina, a little bit of Virginia. We're going to be IPMS, and actually, God, from this recording, almost a week, if not less.
I'm not ready.
I'm not ready either.
I'm not ready.
I am not prepared.
Okay, now I'm ready.
You're good now?
Yeah.
Just right now, you're good.
I needed a second and a half to prepare, and now I'm ready.
Now we are good to go.
We're doing it.
So to my right, I have Brandon MechaGenre. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hello.
To everyone.
I'm Brandon. I run the website MechaGenre.com. To my right, we've got Bailey.
Yeah, I'm Bailey. I go by the name Kamau_Zeta on Instagram.
Good stuff.
And,
and Tino late as always.
Now it's my turn.
I'm Tino. I go by Big V Roman all over the internet.
Wonderful stuff. And I am Joel. I go by True Gunpla on everywhere online. We are the host of the Cutting Mat podcast, a new scam modeling podcast out there for, I would say it's made by community industry builders for everyone. It's a general scale modeling podcast that's going to go a little bit deep into subjects that have not been talked about. And one of those is, let's talk a little bit about, you know, let's talk about Richmond. Richmond
jump
IPMS.
Right in. Yeah, let's
we're
going
to jump right
that.
Into that.
So, ODO.
Here's the thing, right? We're a scale modeling podcast. We talk about all kinds of plastic models. We, all four of us, happen to get together through a local community that builds mecha models. That's giant robots. And, you know, the whole mecha modeling phenomenon kind of started in Japan in the early 80s, the late 70s, somewhere mm-hmm. around that range. These injection molded plastic kits had movable joints, which was kind of a fun new change from the stationary car models and tank models that had flooded the market previously. But companies like Bandai started mass producing these humanoid robot model kits. And I just think they're super cool.
Just recently learned it was Clover originally, wasn't it?
Clover, really?
Yeah, originally.
I wasn't aware of that. I guess the history is...
It's pretty deep, yeah.
It's very extremely vast. Deep. Mm-hmm. I love that stuff. It's so cool.
We should do an episode of just history.
History.
Just the history
all right,
of it.
There's a lot there.
There's a lot, yeah. There's a lot of people
coming
to talk
soon.
To too. Coming soon. Yep. Oh, man. So the big thing is with with the Cutting Mat business.
Mat presents.
Cutting Mat presents.
A history
of Mecca. Holy shit.
the holy shit is going to be in the largest font.
Largest impact font
holy shit.
You can find.
Holy shit, guys.
So we're going to Richmond. All of us are located in North Carolina.
I was going somewhere with that. So this is where Richmond ties in. Joel and I went to an IPMS contest. That's International Plastic Model Society contest in Raleigh. Last year we went to 2 years ago, right?
It was about 2017.
2017. It was a convention called RDUCon. We had a great time, but we saw a lot of those traditional car models and military models, planes, tanks, trucks, a few spaceships. And we were some of the only people to bring humanoid robot mecha models.
I think there was four total. There was you, there was me. We met John there, but John didn't submit anything, I don't think. I think he was just kind of there to check it out.
Right.
And there was one other builder that I think he
John
literally...
John Bias, you mean?
Yeah, John.
He's a world-class plane modeler.
insane builder.
Yeah, fantastic.
He's recently, actually, I would say, since meeting him there, because when I met him, I had no idea who he was, what he did. Since that day to now, his channel and content has just skyrocketed.
Oh, yeah.
His website's booming. He's starting to do like YouTube stuff like that.
Really good write-ups.
Yeah, his write-ups are really, he goes into just, you know, basic stuff of just online etiquette with his hobby. So if you have a, I think it's John Bios models, johnbios.com.
He's just johnbios.com. Yeah,
so definitely check him out. But he was there. We talked to him about Gundam. He was really surprised to see myself and Brandon, because, you know, just with our age, I'm 27. God, I don't remember my own age. I think I'm 27.
How old are you?
I was born in 91 October.
Yeah, you're 13. You're 27. Yeah, sure.
And Brandon, that's it, yeah.
And I was 27 at the time. No, I was 28 at the time. I don't know my age either. Yeah. I'm 29 now. So we were we're under 30. Yeah. We're under 30. But what we found was that most of the people who were entering these really high detail, top class military models were a bit on the older side. You know, this was a hobby that they'd picked up in their youth and continued on and honed their skills. But since most of the options in the United States back, you know, in the early 90s, late 80s, were military and car models, that's what we usually see. People stuck with their military and car models. And so...
Yeah. Right at that time before Gundam Wing hit.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. Because that audience when Gundam hit the States was... They didn't care. Mm-hmm. They're already so involved with it. And so, yeah, there was four people there. There was a Gundam category. It was 622, if I remember correctly. It was 622 or 662.
How do you remember that?
I remember because I wrote it on my website that's not published yet. So there's an article, actually, from 2017 on the website. But there was, you know, I had about like five entries. You had a little bit more. And there was an Iron Giant head that was scratch built.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was so well done.
It was amazing. There's pictures on your website.
Yeah, go to check out my write-up for RDU Con 2017 on mechagenre.com, and you can see some of the pictures of the things that we saw and our entries. Yeah. And it was so cool. It's just great to go to contests like this, but you see so few mecha in general. Had we not been there, there may have only been three or four mecha entries.
Yeah, so, everyone only brought one or two kits. And it was one of those things, too, where this was my first IPMS. Was this your first IPMS?
Yes, this was my first IPMS.
And usually, because it's a group, it's a scale modeling community. They have meetups, they have events. This is like their kind of like Super Bowl for that, for the local community. And when we went, no one really approached us about, hey, you know, do you want to come to a meetup? Would you like to do this?
Very interesting. I mean, we even won, you know, we won several categories. I won best figure in show, and we got a second and third place in the mecha category. And even though they knew we weren't members of the local IPMS chapter, no one invited us to join. I think it's the kind of situation where you have a tight-knit community that knows each other, which makes logical sense. That's how most hobby communities tend to work out. We find that the mecha modeling community, Gunpla, is, since it's primarily online-based, we're pretty well accepting and willing to grow by adding new members.
Yeah, we're certainly on a kind of a different angle, the angle of trying to, you know, welcome people from all different places, you know, and invite them into the community.
Well, I don't think at this time the hobby's at the point to where we can be very, in a sense, clicky.
Yeah, right. Insular.
As much, you know, even with like Team Helios, myself, and actually Brandon and Bailey, this is like an announcement. We want to have you guys join Team Helios.
What?
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
And the whole thing with that, it's not like an elite team.
Wait,
it's
hang
not
on. Can I get healthcare through Team Helios?
We only have, you're going to get a W-2, but you won't get benefits.
Oh. Okay, do I get
it's
a
not
company,
1044.
Company car? Can I?
Well, I have to talk to Justin about that one.
Can I write off my gas?
You can write off your gas.
Oh, yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I'm writing off my gas.
But you know, that the leaders of that, Justin, and a couple other people, it's not like an elite building team. It's people that we see that are, you know, doing something different, doing something well, and we want to help them improve, help them kind of get out there. It's just kind of like a smaller community of people that you can ask questions, you can get this type of advice, and I think that's what the hobby needs overall. You know, with the GBA, the Gunpla Builder Association, is something that we started a couple years ago for Twitch. Twitch is a streaming platform where you can, you know, play video games, do IRL stuff with webcams.
Now look at the membership.
Yeah, the membership's insane. And we started with a team of like five people. And just streamers alone, I think we have like around 15, and we've had to dwindle that down. And we have streamers like the Buttress and Zacharilius and Child of Mecca, and myself and others that, you know, some of these people are making their living off of streaming Gunpla, which is insane. They've made it their job.
And that's great for the community too, yeah. Because people can interact on the Twitch comment sections and meet other builders and, you know, refer each other to their websites. And that's a fantastic place to build a community. But to bring us back to the contest angle, there are not as many opportunities for Gunpla and mecha builders to compete in the United States outside of GBWC and the SCGMC.
Yeah, I would say SCGMC being one of the more recent ones that's gaining a lot of popularity. It's almost like it's almost like the second GBWC. I know the rules and judging is vastly different, but it still has that where you have people wanting to. I mean, I'm going to be flying from North Carolina all the way to California just to go, and that's what we based NCGMC off of, was that model that they had, to where it takes the good and the bad from IPMS, takes the good and the bad from GBWC, and brings it together to where, you know, we have this elaborate system for people to enter scale model kits from.
Very thorough.
That don't want to do GBWC because, GBWC is very nice. I think it's well done. There's been a lot of judging issues in the past couple of years, a lot of inconsistency.
Yeah. I mean, we can get into that in more detail if we want to later on. I have some opinions about it.
But, I think we all have opinions
about
it.
I wanted to make sure that, we're able to show our community, and one way of doing that is by entering existing IPMS contests in the short term, and then in the long term, creating this NCGMC model in North Carolina that people on the East Coast can attend as well. So the SCGMC, NCGMC contests will serve a larger array of the population.
Yeah, like kind of sister competitions.
Well, the big thing now with IPMS is they've almost, I mean, here, I can't speak about other states, but for Virginia and North Carolina, it's been a complete 90-degree turn.
Really?
They've just flip-shipped to where they want Gundam scale modeling there.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I was approached by one of the organizers from RDUCon from here locally, and he's like, hey, I want to do a bigger Gundam table. I've seen what you guys have done locally. I've seen what other IPMSs have been doing. We want to do that because the thing is, a lot of these IPMSs are starting to realize that this is the new generation of scale modelers. Is through Mecha, through Gundam, through all this stuff that they can. Now you can go to Barnes & Noble and buy a kit.
Yep.
You can go to GameStop and buy it. You can trade in your games and get a kit from it. That's right. Wild.
But the thing is, most of the places that you could stop by and buy a military model kit now also sell Gundam and Mecha. Yeah,
exactly.
So there's crossover in there.
It's really good. And
certainly,
I think,
in the skills too.
Yeah, and that's the big
skill
thing
crossover.
They're starting to see a lot of the same techniques done in military scale modeling.
Absolutely.
Done with Gundam. They're like, these aren't just toys.
That's
they're
right.
Actual scale modeling kits.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, locally we have a really good, you know, he wants like 100 plus models out there, which we can do because locally, just from our meetup, we have what, 70, 80 entries?
Yep. Oh yeah.
And in Virginia,
through the several contests we've run so far.
Yeah. And then because that's a big thing too, is we've run a lot of contests. And so people that attend these have these builds already done. So when it comes to IPMS, they can drop 10 models on the table and be like, cool, I like seeing this.
Yeah.
So to get back to IPMS Richmond, I saw that they were doing it. A couple of members, Tim and some others locally here, said, hey, there's an IPMS going in Richmond. You guys want to go out? And me being my overachieving self here, I contacted them. I was like, hey, I saw that Bluefin donated a slew of kits. Millennium Falcon PG, Master Grades, High Grades, some of the other Star Wars kits.
Those are some high-value kits, too.
Yeah, there's a couple $100
worth of
kits.
PG, Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, I mean, that was like 200-something bucks.
Yeah.
Just for raffle prizes. Just raffle. There's over 400.
I think that's a good strategy, right?
Yeah,
that's as a marketing strategy, it's going to work very well because you start to see these things at these serious modeling contests, and the serious modelers are going to want to try to pick them up. But at the same time, as soon as a serious modeler picks up your kit, it makes that kit look much higher value. You know, you see expert modelers do things with your kit that you may have never dreamed of, and so you end up with something that's, it's better looking. It's better looking than the things that you normally would have expected, and therefore it's better marketing material.
So I was for IPMS Richmond, I was speaking with Chaz. Chaz seems to be the head organizer for it. I'm not too sure, but a really amazing person, very passionate about the hobby overall. And when I approached him and asked him about the Gundam thing, and I really originally approached him saying, hey, I want to donate some kits to be raffled. I want to donate some door prizes, whether it's, you know, some of the shirts from Holy Mountain, or just, you know, some kits that I have in my backlog from Hangar 18, you know, donate those just to kind of get that extra little push. And he was so excited that I emailed him about this. He CC'd everyone in that's involved with it. It's like, hey, let's do this. And last year they had about 60 something entries for Gundam, which is already impressive.
That's pretty sizable.
That's pretty good. Yeah. That's not bad.
He gave me a goal, said, hey, let's beat 100.
Oh, okay.
So there's already 60 from last year. Mm-hmm. We have 70, 80 something, and he's pushing it more online. There's almost going to be 200 entries from this thing.
And we're just going to caravan our way up from Raleigh.
Yeah.
From Raleigh. It's going to be great.
Yep.
We're going to have multiple cars, multiple people.
We're coming in force, yeah.
Yeah, 15, yep. I think like 10 or 15 people all together coming physically.
It's going to be great.
So yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. He's very, I had a phone call with him and he kind of explained why he wants this boom, because their whole entire organization is starting to realize like, hey, this is the future. If we don't get to, you know, accepting this, scale mileage is going to die off. And that's something where too, I mean, it affects their groups. They'll have lower turnout rates, stuff like that, to where it's, you know, they won't be able to get new membership coming in and really keep the hobby going. So I think, the notion of IPMS is very anti-Gundam is going to be changing, I would say, over this year. My goal would be to have someone like Fine Scale Modeling or something like that do an article about this. You know, I'll take photos at this event showing them like, hey, like Gundam is here. It's very predominant and just sci-fi in general, because of the Bandai Star Wars kits that are coming out are amazing. They're super detailed. They're on par with the Fine Scale.
I mean, they ones. Make these little like level one snap together kits look like toys in comparison. They're really taking sci-fi seriously.
Yeah, for sure. So I think it's going to be a great event. I'm super stoked for it. I'm not stoked for the drive. It's like collectively
it's only
5 hours driving.
It is literally only 2.5 hours there.
I'm a huge baby.
That's not a big
driving.
Deal.
I hate driving. I'd rather fly there if
I
could.
Well, you can listen to our podcast in the car.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's terrible. Times. Listen to us. Like, oh, man.
Three times.
I mean, what are you guys excited about for IPM Richmond? For me personally, myself and Macho Models, we're actually going to be the head judges for the Gundam category.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
So this is my first time doing a head judge IPMS judging session. I've done others online, and I've done, you know, locally as well, but this would be the first time really. I'm going in with the mindset of learning a lot, because these are guys have been doing judging for scale modeling for years, if not decades.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited for that and the vendor tables.
Now that's an interesting topic. So judging, right? When you think about judging a model kit contest, how do you do it? So, you know, when I think about GBWC and how it's different from IPMS. The judging is the first thing that I think about, because IPMS puts a very high degree of value on realism,
yeah,
right? Sure. You're trying to make something look like the real scale version of something. You know, it has to be realistic. But at the same time, we're you know, Gundam isn't real. Did you guys...
What?
Did you know
Gundam's
that...
Gundam's not real.
Joel, Gundam's not real.
Okay, guys, I think we're going to end the podcast here real fast. I got a lot to think
it's
about.
It's not real. It isn't real. It's not real.
I mean, but that is a very good...
There's at least one, right?
There is one or two.
It's true, yeah. There's one in
two,
Japan.
But, yeah. You know, they're just
But
trophies.
This is the thing, right? If you're building a sci-fi model, how realistic do you expect that model to be? There are different styles that you can do with sci-fi modeling that you might not be able to do with an actual World War II tank model.
Yeah, true.
So you're broadening the possibilities, but... It makes judging challenging sometimes.
Really does, yeah. The big thing with it, too, is from us joining IPMS in 2017, I noticed that they're very prone to pick weathered kits, rusted build, military-style Gundam, because they can say, oh, that looks like a tank. Oh,
right.
That looks like some type of military application. I think that's why I got third with what I put in. It was the Soviet Zaku 1.
Very rusty-looking, really realistic.
Because it was, in a sense, it looked like a statue.
Right.
And that's what I presented as. I said it's a statue for, you know, the pilot of that mobile suit. It's done in the Soviet era. And they're like, absolutely, yes, third place, done. If I went in there with a fresh, clean build, I think I would have a little bit of trouble trying to portray what this actually is.
And that's, you know, that's a style that Bailey is fantastic at.
Yeah.
So, you know, you look at real life model. You know, you do the same thing that I do, where if I see rust, I take pictures of rust.
Well, I mean, I think we all do that. We have pictures in our phones.
Yeah, exactly.
Random construction equipment.
I don't know if we're proud of them, but, you know, they get...
I'm proud of mine.
You know, trains and, you know, rusted out construction and different things like that. And because it gives us a sense of, you know, what this kind of material, it's like heavy, you know, metal sheets and painting and things like that. What happens over time? That's something that I really enjoy kind of trying to emulate, you know. For me, you know, we're talking about something that's not real still. Yeah, these are, what, 18 meter robots,
but they're 18 meter animated robots. So
we have a sense of what happens to tanks that we know, you know, World War II and things like that. So we kind of, you know, extrapolate and make sense of what would likely happen to these things. And that's the part that I really enjoy.
I mean,
and
it's a big thing with doing anything art wise. I mean, Tina, you draw a lot, so I'm sure like references is a very big part of what you do. Even with like the Gundam stuff you draw on,
yeah,
is how to use the references, how to use, you know, your outside world environment to something that's not real.
Yeah, I've got a lot of pictures on my phone of me making weird angles for my hands use and all that. I also have a lot of pictures of stuff like environmental stuff.
Yeah.
There's a weird section of tracks down in where I work that is very, very creepy that I use sometimes.
Cool. Yeah. See, I love those things.
Yeah, having that reference is great. I mean, unfortunately, it doesn't snow a lot here, so I have to go online for mine.
Mr. Snow.
You do so much snow.
So much snow, but it's something where, you know, when I do that, the big thing is you know, where is it going to fall on it? How is this going to interact if it was real? And that's the big thing we see with the Gundam community online is that the moment you post a rusted build, right, there's always one or two people like, Gundam Ally doesn't rust. I hate it because it doesn't exist. It's not real.
You don't know if it rusts or not. You don't know. Maybe it rusts. Maybe it oxidizes like in the, you know, under heavy laser fire. You don't know.
Exactly. I mean, and a good reference was the 1-to-1 scale unicorn.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
They recently, someone took really nice high res photos where you can see the streaking. There were some parts where it started to rust a little bit, like very light early stages of rusting.
The thing about that, it really, really made apparent the importance of scale.
Yeah.
You know, you can see some, you know, there are some models, you know, Gundam, whatever, with streaking on it. It's like this huge mark that you see, and it's like, you know, that's going to be like 20 feet wide worth of
if oil
rust
was leaking out, that's a waterfall of burning hot oil at that point.
Actively leaking,
and then you see the unicorn
out,
and it's like there's a spot there, and it's like, you know, it's a fairly small spot. You know, it makes sense on that scale what's going to happen versus, you know, somebody slapping, because, you know, we have these washes, we have, you know, streaking grimes, they're real fun to use, but you gotta have like you know, pacing in what you're doing and kind of look at it and what makes sense about what's likely to happen.
But,
and I think IPMS really, you know, they kind of tend to value that sense of scale and sense of, you know, measured approach to what's going on.
So back to IPMS. What are you excited about for seeing an IPMS like for Richmond? Like, you know, is it the vendors, the builds?
I could spend 3 days sticking my face 3 inches away from every build. That's my
favorite
thing.
There's going to be a lot of that there.
Oh, it's my favorite thing.
Bring your gloves and your pen light.
you cannot touch them, but definitely pen light. I it's just so cool to see how people make trees differently, you know, or how people do rust slightly differently, or how someone,
that's,
you know,
really cool.
In a small enough scale ship model, for example, somebody will use thread as a chain railing around the ship, which is the coolest thing. I mean, just little things like that really add to the realism of a model that's only 1 foot long instead of,
the,
you know,
massive thing it actually is. Yeah.
I love those.
Bailey, what are you excited for this trip?
Well, Tim's got me hyped up on the vendors and the obscure things that you can find there, you know, and also I would say, you know, I'm a tool guy, so definitely I'm going to be hitting up the tool sections. But like Brandon said, even just looking and seeing what people have done with, you know, their models, and I'm going to be really scoping out their weathering techniques.
Yeah, that's the big thing you can learn from this. If you want to get into weathering, this is, even if, you know, I've heard a lot of negative things from other states' IPMS. It's like, oh, they don't do the junk gun right. Just if that happens to yours, just go. just go to look at all the scale modeling, because the biggest thing this hobby can do to grow is to learn from those that were before us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
With the military scale modeling, with the airplane modeling, there's so much. I mean, that's why Ammo did such a great job with their books, even with the Mega one.
Ammo, yeah.
Because they've written so many military scale modeling books. All they have to do is just, okay, hey, this thing's really big, so let's tone down the scale a little
apply
bit.
Apply the mm-hmm. same technique.
Same technique.
Sure.
Yeah,
same
those thing. Books are so good.
Yeah, so Tina, what are you excited for? I know you do a lot of cons. We've done a lot of cons together, actually.
Yeah,
we did Holy Mountain was at SuperCon.
SuperCon, yep.
And recently the Ultimate Comics Raleigh, North Carolina con. So what are you excited for this being a kind of like a scale modeling convention event?
A little bit of everything that's already been talked about. I'm excited to see what the vendors have. I kind of want to scope out what other people do that I don't see on a regular basis with Gundam kits. Yep. And I've never really, aside from Gundam, I've never really gotten into model building beyond that. So I'm kind of interested to see what top tier people do with their stuff. You know,
that's a good point, you know, because we have a sense of our community at this point, you know, and you know, the kinds of, or the vision, you know, the view and the perspectives that our builders in this area have, but that would be an interesting thing to expand, you know, Richmond and see what that community has in terms of what their you know, their techniques and their approaches to different things are.
The local meta.
Yeah.
The local meta.
What do they do that's different than what we do?
It'll mm-hmm. definitely be interesting to see all the people that stick with just like tanks and stuff come over and look at all the Gundam stuff too.
Oh,
That's one of the things I'm really excited for, because it's not like when we went, Brandon, where there's going to be four models and it's like, oh, that's cool. There's going to be probably two or three tables just filled
with Gundam
model kits. Mm-hmm. And it's wild to think that, you know, not even a year ago, they couldn't get past 50 people to join, mm-hmm. or 50 right. entries.
With an entry pool that size, it's really hard to avoid it. You know, at RDUCon, our experience was that we had some conversations with, you know, John Bias and a few other people that had been doing this for a long time. But most of the people who talked to us about our entries were younger. They were our age or younger, and were just interested in getting into modeling in general. A lot of them had parents who built scale models. I was one of those. My dad was a huge scale model builder when I was a kid, and so he passed on those skills to me, and that's why I do this now. It's kind of a fun, you know, it's a fun hobby. But
that's great.
You need to have that link, I think.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
it helps you get into it.
I mean, I'm going to be bringing people over from the tanks, because I've been looking at those lately, like Stugs and
Panzers.
We recently, I'd say almost all of us got one of the Toon tanks.
The Toon tanks, yeah. I got a
I know Taz.
King Tiger.
I haven't picked one up yet.
You haven't got
they're
one
good,
yet.
Man.
Brandon,
check
you need
out.
To get one. But
you know, I'm not that big a fan. They're weird looking to me.
Oh,
it's not
yeah,
my thing. It's not my thing. They're weird looking.
Toony.
The only tank that I want in my model kit collection is a Metal Slug. That's
you know what? That I was about to say. That's the one I have. I bought a Metal Slug.
The Billion Spark one.
It's the Walker. It's
the Walker.
Bipedal Walker.
Cool.
That is a good kit. Very difficult to build. I mean, it's kind of a. It doesn't quite hold together as well as you expect from something that's more.
Is it injection molded?
Mass produced. It is injection molded. It has clear parts. It has chrome parts.
Oh, so it is
parts.
The Billion Spark.
I mean, it does. It looks very nice whenever it's completed, but it definitely needs some work to bring it up to the level that we expect from a lot of our kits. But that's the fun part. So I'm really looking forward to weathering that thing.
Exactly.
I've seen the tank build a couple times.
It's a great that tank.
Bunker Plaw on YouTube has been doing the tank one recently. It's looking really good. I think it's like a wave. It was originally a wave kit, super expensive, but it's been recast by, remolded rather by Billion Spark. It's like a Chinese company, but it looks really good. I'm going to pick it up at some point.
Well, as I say, this IPMS is also great, you know, to get back to the vendors, is that there's a lot of these vendors that have surpluses of military scale modeling. Because, I mean, honestly,
and
they're not moving.
Oh, yeah.
Besides, you know, who's there built buying the tanks, buying the airplanes. Mm-hmm. When we went 2017, some of the booths had kits for like $1.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something where, you know, you can grab that kit, like, hey, those missiles and something else would be really cool for your Gundam
kit.
Mm-hmm. You can get a lot of scratch building, a lot of styrene.
A lot of Greeblies, Nernies.
We got the Citadel mold line remover.
Yeah,
for like
that's
$1.
Exactly right. Yep.
The guy just had it in his, like, you know, random tool lot for a dollar, and you'll find gold in there. You won't find, like, God hands and Gaia notes, but you'll find some really good American, you know.
That's not a problem at all, man.
Right.
Yeah. Those things are the same. Those things are the same. You can get it for cheaper.
9 times out of 10.
You get it. Yeah.
I haven't built anything for it because I can't enter anything in. I'm a judge.
Right. Yeah.
So that kind of alleviated me. Once again, Joel escapes from actually building the things that he talks about.
We'll get him one day.
How do
you keep tying him down?
I'm really good at it.
If you didn't do it on purpose, like I could tell, I mean, you obviously are doing it on purpose, but if it would be impossible. I'm just so impressed. You're able to be a community leader, and then you just he snapped out a few stuff.
We got video.
He's gonna
be up all night Friday night, just like
I had to build something.
I had to build something. Here's
it's a judge
tennis
build. I'm not actually.
I put a Zaku
it.
Arm. It's a Zaku arm. It's fine. It's a whole arm.
Right. I mean, no, I would actually do that though. For Hangar 18, it'd be the night before, and I'd be like, "Oh shit, I haven't built a single thing for this contest." And I mean, the thing is, I think I've done my best work in those scenarios. When I first got building, Zach did a Zaku contest, and I busted that thing out in 2 days.
Whoa!
And I placed. I think it was fourth.
You just work well under pressure, then.
Pretty much, yeah. I have really bad anxiety, so I have to kind of deal with that at the same time.
The anxiety is an interesting. So you know, we're going to probably talk more about the link between mental illness and Gunpla in future episodes. Yeah. But one note that I wanted to make about that is that sometimes if you're trying to build with anxiety or if you think that your anxiety makes you a perfectionist. Having a deadline like that is a great motivator just to put something down. You know, one great way to motivate yourself is something that I call do it badly. If you're having trouble getting motivated to start something, just do it badly. Like get into it expecting to do it badly, and it probably won't be as bad as you expect it will be.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good. I've never heard of that before.
Do it badly. You know,
just
like for me, the first time I ever painted a master grade inner frame, for example, I'm like, I have no clue what I'm doing. I was like 13 years old, and I just decided, you know what? I'm just going to do it. Right? Like, just do it. You'll end up with something. You'll learn something along the way. It looked terrible. It looked awful because I was 13. I didn't know what I was doing. But like over time, you learn what not to do.
Yeah. You can use a code MechaGenre10 at Nike.com. Yeah.
I was about to say Nike's
just
knocking on the door right now.
Badly. I'm wearing Allbirds. I don't think they're going to sponsor me.
Oh, man. But I think, you know, like we were saying before, IPMS Go for sure. There's one in every state, so there's no excuse. To touch back to our home community is that this started actually from kind of like an offshoot of IPMS. It's the Model Works group. They do mainly sci-fi, horror, stuff like that. And I got into the...
It happens on Saturdays.
Yeah, they do it on Saturdays once a month.
Never heard of that.
And
that
then Wednesdays.
Cool.
Wednesdays once a month. Well, they have dinner and they meet up.
I'm so glad I'm listening to this podcast because I never would have known that this existed.
Long story short, I watched Build Fighters, got hypnotized by Bandai's commercial anime, Googled Hobby Store, Hangar 18 came up. I walk in there. They have five model kits.
And this was last week, right? This was last week?
Yeah. Yeah, just about last week.
Like 3 days ago?
In terms
community
of,
building in one week.
How much building I've done, yeah. But I walked in there and I saw Luke, and Luke is one of our leaders of the Hangar 18 group and some others. They're building Gundam stuff. I was like, oh, hey, that's what I do. That's awesome. And I talked to them. I was like, what if we did our own thing? You know, let's do a Gundam based meetup. And this is something we'll have a whole entire episode on, which I hope a lot of stores listen to, a lot of store owners, a lot of people in the industry listen to, because we took that store from having 5 to 10 kits to have a rotating stock of, I would say, over 150, 200.
Yeah.
A wall.
Floor to ceiling.
Kits.
Floor to ceiling.
And the big thing, too, is we have, I mean, right now, it's actually Sunday. There's a meetup going on right now without us that is full.
Yep.
And it's something where it benefits the store and the community so much because you have that local community that meets, whether it's monthly, biweekly, weekly, you have something to look forward to. So you have an additional, like you're saying, just do it. You have another goal to work towards for building. And I think stuff like IPMS and you know, having that Gunpla community is such a good combo because we got so many people to enter IPMS this year that would never have done it before. They would never, if they didn't have that Gunpla community saying, hey, let's do this cool thing together. Let's all, you know, put our put our eggs in one basket.
Peer pressure, right? Peer pressure works.
Peer pressure works in this hobby. So, I mean, in a sense, I mean,
Kids just say yes to peer pressure.
We had everybody in one room and locked them in and would not let them leave until they agreed to do it.
You need to go enter or you can't leave. They're like, oh, they're so acceptive. They love IPMS now. It's great.
Just do it, okay? You know what I mean?
Just do it, dogs.
Just build it.
Just do it badly. It doesn't matter.
I mean, Tim posted something yesterday on Instagram saying that today's the day to go build something awesome.
That's right.
You know, that's
Instagram story. Yeah.
It's kind of like a, you know, one of those like, you know, old inspirational posters you see in the office. But I mean,
hang in there, kitty.
Hang in there, kitty. You'll get through this master grade. But stuff like that, I mean, it really does affect people. I mean, it gets people in that mood. Having that community, whether it's online or in store, really helps motivate you to do more in the hobby.
You know what? You're not kidding. You know, I think about 3 or 4 years ago, my wife bought me the Real Grade Mark II. And I built it, and it was just sitting there.
Yeah, good wife.
And then...
good wife.
Yeah. And then, like, what is it? When did I do, like, 2 years ago when it first came to Hangar 18 and saw the Gunpla community and just, you know, getting started. And it's been something that's just the most enjoyable thing to just talk about this, like, nerdy, you know,
nerdy
interest
thing.
That I've never had opportunity to talk to. Aside from online, we talked about, you know, talking online.
I mean, you were involved with, like Gundam.com and stuff back in the day,
Way back. Yeah. Oh, now you're dating me.
Guys, just a little bit. Bailey is 88 years old.
Gundam.com, Gundam Project, and if anybody's still out there, stragglers from OperationGundam.com.
Oh, I remember that. Oh, okay. I might be that old, too.
But just having this local community and also expanded to all the, you know, Gunpla Builders Association online and whatever, and being able to speak about these things has been just the most amazing part about it, you know, and that, as you said, has been just inspirational. Having, you know, I think I finished maybe 3 or 4 kits, you know, full bills and paints and everything, and just being able to come in there and speak and, you know, my favorite thing, talk shop, you know, talk
to Randy,
you know, dude, what I'm talking
that's
about.
The big thing is talking shop.
I love it.
I mean, honestly, I would say there's not a whole lot of building that gets done at these
Oh,
meets.
I don't even build.
Oh, no, I used to.
Oh, yeah. No.
Don't let me mislead you. I don't build there.
Yeah.
No, I come there to flap my gums, you know.
but the thing is, if you go to one of these meets, you'll run into someone like Bailey, and you'll learn 10 things in the first
Brandon.
5 minutes of
or
talking
Brandon,
to him.
Yes.
Yeah, Brandon, don't tell yourself short, man.
No, don't talk to me. I will mislead you.
He knows three things.
I know 3 things.
But no, I think, I mean, would you say, you know, when, you know, back in the day when you're on the Gundam Forum, you think that this would be where it's at today, where we have these like local
absolutely.
Meetups and,
yeah,
and stuff
absolutely.
Like that? It's wild to think that, you know, in a sense we have what's, you know, I mean, when I tell people about the Hangar 18 meets, usually it's like, are you kidding me? Like, is it that many people? Like, holy shit, how can you do that? And it's simple. I mean, there's no algorithm to this. It's not marketing, online marketing. It's not, you know. The biggest thing you can do is work with a hobby store that
build it and they will come.
Build it. Yeah, I mean, it sounds stupid, but in this scenario,
true,
it really is. But it's maintaining it. That's a big
deal.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you get people to come because you're giving people something that they want.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, hey, marketing, right? You sell people something that they want, but people are really interested in this stuff.
And that's the thing. I mean, I've seen a lot of, you know, new, I would say, events and groups come up. And in New York, there's been, I mean, New York's had an established community for years. But you see a lot of new ones coming up where they're trying to get people, you know, free kits, stuff like that.
That's not really necessary.
It's not necessary. You don't need to charge a head fee for this because we do it for free. And we have point to where, like, people are sitting on the floor because there's no space for
and
them
expand
to build.
It to every weekend.
Yeah, we have to do it every weekend.
Right.
And now we're actually going to do it every Sunday and then probably an additional Saturday at Holy Mountain with the movie and the build meet. So it's something where if you're going to start it up, you don't need to charge per head. You don't need to offer free stuff. Get a hobby store that wants to be involved with it because 9 times out of 10, they're not going to say no unless they just physically don't have the space to hold it. Even then you'd be like, hey, we've got a venue. Do you want to help with the venue cost and then, you know, bring some product down, you can sell it, you know, getting a square reader is easy as, you know, going online these days. So it's something where there's really, I would say there's no excuse. It's like you're saying, Brandon, earlier, just go out and do it.
Just, you know, do it badly and maybe it'll work out better than you think.
We did. I mean, when we first started, we just made a Facebook group.
Right.
That's it. There's so many Facebook groups out there that are like Gunpla Builders of Insert State Here.
Yeah.
And these work so well because in a sense,
so
I mean,
simple.
sadly, it's replaced the forums. Mm-hmm. But forums are starting to come back a little bit.
What they are? Do I have to fire up my flame cannons again?
Yeah, do that. Everyone's going to want to, you know, little signature images and all that fun
Spider-Man dancing. That's my favorite part.
Yeah, that's so good. But I really think, you know, stuff with IPMS and having local community is something to where it takes this hobby from something you do on the side, you know, like, hey, you know, I build one once in a while when I'm bored, when I'm not playing video games, or something, to where it's like, this is what you do.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I wouldn't say who this is who you are, but I mean, for me, this is who I am. My job and everything I do income wise is so directly related to the hobby. If I wasn't doing this, I would... shit, I don't know, be working some shitty IT job like I was, you know, 2 years ago. But yeah, so IPMS, we've talked about it. I think we've handled it pretty well. We've covered that pretty
good.
I think we killed IPMS.
I think we killed this topic. We talked about this way too much. We're gonna go back and we're gonna delete half this podcast because there's just too much information about IPMS.
Too much revealing information.
Yep.
Are
you guys members of IPMS?
I'm not.
I'm not either.
I'm actually technically not a member.
Something we gotta do.
Yeah, we may need to be joining IPMS.
Can I be a head judge? Yeah.
We just talked a lot about IPMS, but we're not even. But that's the thing, right? I don't know how to become a member.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I guess we'll have to find out.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. No.
Right.
Joking aside, no one approached us how to join.
You fill out your application, and then you put it in the trunk of a hollow tree, and then 3 days later you come back. And if it's a full moon, then if your application is gone, it means that the you know the pixies with the stamp are reading over it, and it's very complicated.
It's a very, very complicated process.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Hangar 18, anytime I see somebody looking at the Gunpla at Hangar 18, tell them, join the Facebook group. You know, we have meets every Sunday. And
It's such a good resource because everyone's got a Facebook for the most part.
I think last week there were like three people that were hanging around just like looking at everything during the contest. And we were just like, Hangar 18 Gunpla community.
Mm-hmm. Bunch of
Facebook.
Nerds.
Yeah,
hit us up. Hit that like button. Smash subscribe.
I mean, if I go in a hobby store, right, and it's a weekend, and I see, you know, 20-something people building Gundam, I'm going to lose my shit.
Oh, yeah. That'd be
absolutely.
Like, first of all,
more specifically, you could barely move around.
Yeah.
You're trying to look at the kits, and it's like, excuse me.
You're trying to see
what is
people
this?
Are like,
this
you know, building
on.
This
is an Hangar 18 Gunpla community,
Yep.
It's wild, and it's something where I think that it's starting to pick up. I know there's a couple pages in Texas that have, large meets. They're lucky enough to have the size to hold all that. Even in New Jersey, the Gundam Kitchen, they have a large community up there, and I think they do like what's called like the potluck, where you bring all your painted and built for
is
that
a kitchen
that
joke.
I think so. I mean, it would be a good play on
are
it.
All of their events kitchen puns.
Probably.
I hope so. Yeah,
the cook-off.
The Gundam cook-off. That'd be
Gundam
so good. Oh, man.
Chef's good people, though.
Ooh. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, no, cool. It's a well spot. And, you know, I would love to sit down with some other store owners and people in that community to see, like, hey, how'd you start yours? Kind of get different perspective on it because not every store might be open to it at first, you know? So I think that's something we really need to take a look at for sure. But we have a lot planned for you guys. I really hope you guys enjoy this format. You know, we would love to hear your feedback. So on iTunes, all that stuff, if it's available, leave us a review. Let us know what you think. You can reach out to any of us on Instagram except for Brandon until he makes his Instagram.
So far.
You can
so
reach
far.
Out to my dog on Instagram.
Ask some modeling questions.
My dog handles my day-to-day admin.
All right. So I think we're going to wrap it up here, guys. You know, I'm True Gunpla Joel. We'll go around the table, say our goodbyes, get some little plugs out there.
I'm Mecha Genre Brandon.
I'm Bailey Kamau Zeta.
I'm Tino Big V Roman.
You almost forgot who you were there.
I almost
like,
did. Yeah.
I'm Team Brandon. Shit, Joel. I mean, anyway, guys, enjoy the hobby for yourself. Keep on building. Make something awesome. Until next time, you guys have a good one.
Stay tuned. See
bye. You later. Yeah. Stay tuned. See you later. Do it badly.
Do it badly.
Do it badly.
Can we hashtag that?
Hashtag do it badly.
Brandon's dog to hashtag.
I'll get my dog to hashtag it. All right, cool.